Hi, I'm Mary McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is one of the great virtuosos of jazz, an international celebrity, and my good friend for many a year, Mr. Oscar Peterson. And I'm so darn glad that you're here. I can't believe it.
Well, I'm here.
I know you're here. And you look good.
This is it.
And it's just great. You know, I keep feeling that you and I are sort of survivors when I think of all the things that have happened since I first met you. You know when I first met you? 1947.
It was in Toronto, wasn't it?
It was in Toronto.
That's right.
And Jimmy and I were at the Colonial Tavern.
That's right.
And when I heard that we were going to be working like an opening act for you and Ray Brown, that was heavy stuff to take.
No.
Oh, boy.
No, it was a ball. I remember that engagement. Oh, it was wonderful. I enjoyed that club. Wasn't that a wonderful club?
Oh, it was.
It's a shame it's not there anymore.
It's just a shame. I mean, so many of the places that we liked a lot, like the London House.
Oh, please.
Places are gone.
Those are monuments in my mind, you know.
Monuments in my mind.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But I don't want to get too nostalgic. Let's play something.
All righty. What would you like to do?
Like Someone in Love.
Like Someone in Love. All right.
Thank you. It's funny. I love that tune, and I've never really played it at that tempo. That's probably the... I mean, it is sort of a ballad tune, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, we got one together, didn't we?
It felt good.
It did feel good.
Yeah, I haven't been doing a lot of, two piano things. To be very honest with you, for years I hated two pianos. You know, I used to play... The odd time I played with the odd pianist once in a while, just for kicks, I played with Nat one night.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah,
Nat
was working at a place in Burlington, Ontario, and he sent for me, and I came down, and we sat up till almost 3 o'clock in the morning playing piano duets, which I really enjoyed.
Well, he was such a great pianist, and I imagine
Amen.
That you both of you had the same thought about harmony and everything, that
there's
no way you could do anything wrong.
That's right, and the only other instance that I really enjoyed was the albums that I did with Basie, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Where we did the two piano things. We did them on concert, and it was really a kick because, you know, it was something to play with that kind of time.
Well, when he was playing two pianos, I mean, he was still very sparse in what he did, wasn't
right.
he?
He was.
So that left you to do your thing.
He used to come out. I remember one night he came out to play a concert with the two pianos with me, and he came out on stage with a baseball bat.
Oh, my God.
And shook his finger at me. But it was a thrill playing with him. It's something that's one of the great moments of my life, really.
Well, he was such a tremendous talent, and I think everybody always sort of thinks of him being so, you know, like less is more mm-hmm. with him, and yet he had this wonderful, wonderful time sense.
He did. He did. He had... Time beyond imagination, I always say.
Well, but so do you, my God, from day one. When I forget what I actually first heard of yours, but I know you've probably played it a million times, but that thing you did on Tenderly, and that again was, I'm not going to ask you to play it, but that was in the 40s, and I thought, I practically knew that thing. I could play every chorus.
Well, that was two of us because I had to learn that solo because people wouldn't accept a performance of that tune unless I played that recorded solo.
Oh, isn't that awful? People say, well, you didn't do it like the record.
Oh, it used to bug me. You know, I wanted to play other things on it. And so what I used to do is I'd play a solo version of it and play all the things I wanted to play during that, and then I'd bring in the trio and play that chorus. It was a great tune. It still is.
Yeah, it was. Well, we've got some great tunes here, but... Gee, I don't know where to start catching up with you. Maybe talking about that wonderful movie you made, like your life.
Oh, the video of my...
Yeah, who did that?
My niece did that.
Sylvia Sweeney.
And she originally started where she was a little disenchanted with the work she was doing in television. And she said, I want to do a project. She wanted to interview me. So she came down to interview me. We got involved, and she said, why don't I do a thing on your life? And I said, okay, fine, if you want to do it. And she did it.
Well, it was just so well done. And I mean, you touched on everything, and they showed wonderful cuts of you as a very young man starting out. And you were even playing Boogie Woogie at one
point. With my white jacket.
In your white jacket, yeah. Oh, God. No, that was just wonderful. But anyway, in case you've just tuned in, my guest today is Oscar Peterson. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz, made possible in part by the Friends of Piano Jazz. When you were a kid, how did you go about learning tunes? Did you just hear them?
Yeah, that was the way I preferred to learn a tune. I'd go out and buy recordings, and we were buying LPs then. I'm dating myself. And I'd get two and three versions of a tune, just to get different readings, as we used to call it, of a tune.
Yeah.
And I'd listen to these things over and over and over. I just did that recently, but I couldn't do it with different artists because I only had the one performance. That was something I never heard of Bill Evans's. Have you ever heard him do Your Story? Do you know that?
I don't know if I have. I may have, but that tune doesn't come to my mind.
It's a very beautiful tune that he wrote, and I happened to send for this collection of his recordings. And then, ironically, that very night on television, the French Network was doing a a piece on them, and they played that exact tune. And I was saying to myself, there are several other pianists I'd like to hear play this, just to see what they do with it.
You know? So do you play it now?
I haven't played it. I just heard it for the first time the other night. I haven't learned it yet.
No, well, that's one I don't know at all. I'm going to have to look that up. But I remember when you were at the Colonial, you and Ray played such a variety of tunes. I mean, you only had a duo. You added drums later, didn't you?
That's right. It started as a duo. And then we brought Ed Thigpen in. We had I must be specific on this. We had Herb Ellis first.
Yeah.
And then we had Ed Thigpen.
Because I remember the night Ed Thigpen opened, it was at Basin Street East. I was sitting right close up. I was lucky I got a table right close up so I could hear what was going on. But I'm just listening to you play, and I'm amazed at what you're doing because, truthfully, a few years ago, you did have some kind of a stroke, didn't you?
I had a stroke, yes.
Where and when? I mean, how did that happen?
I was overplaying. I was playing too many events, working too hard, and I had gone to Japan, came back from Japan, opened in the Blue Note in New York, and I had the stroke during that gig.
Wow, on the stand?
I can't tell you when it occurred. All I know is that I felt funny. And my wife, who was in the audience, had, you know, I remember she had a very concerned look on her face during part of the set. And another friend of mine was staring at me kind of funny. And then I came off, and Ray Brown said to me, "Are you okay?" He said, "I've never heard you miss that thing we do on Caravan, the opening of Caravan." It was a... I can do it now, but I couldn't do it then.
I was going to say, I'm pretty all right with your left hand.
And he said, "I've never heard you miss that. What is the matter?" I said, "I don't know, Ray." And then we were coming to Toronto the beginning of the week. We got here, and they were giving me the Glenn Gould Prize. And in the program, on radio, they had it set up for me to play a solo. And all I know is that my whole left side had seized. So I went to the director, and I said, "I can't do my solo." And he just threw out, had a baby. He said, "What?" I said, "I can't." I said, "We're going to have to do something with the group because I've only got one hand to operate with." And we got through it. And ever since then...
That's amazing.
Well, ever since then, to be honest with you, I haven't catered to my left hand. I just pretended whatever shape it's in. You know, I tried to be a realist about it.
Well, I mean, I see you playing with it. I guess I that must have... being the result of doing some therapy or
I've had therapy.
Being obstinate.
That's right. And I had a very wonderful therapist, Diana Lekirkaker, who resigned herself to saying to me, "You are going to play. I don't care what you say, you're going to have to play because I'm going to make sure you play." And she just visited me without being solicited. Every week, she'd come and make me go through these exercises and cater to my left side. And I got over the initial total stiffness to the point where I could play something. And the only thing that affects me now really is bad weather. Because I wake up some mornings and like it's, I'm the Statue of Liberty.
Well, it's really truly amazing. And I mean, it's so wonderful because I don't know what the music scene would be like without you. And hearing the things you've been doing lately, like I went to Town Hall and heard a concert you did a while ago. And you played the entire thing. I mean, Shirley Horn was on the bill. And
that's right, Benny Green, Bill Jackson.
Benny Green, my God, he adores you, doesn't he?
Yeah, I love Benny.
And that was so great, but you played the whole bloody lot.
Well,
you never got off stage.
Well, there was nowhere to go. Well, I tell you, my outlook on, I can tell you quite seriously, my outlook on this has been, if I have diminishment of the use of my left hand, that's me. It's still me.
Yes.
That's me in 1997, and I try to cope with that.
Well, and you have coped with it.
Well, I'm doing my best.
And hearing that concert and the group you had with you, I mean, well, it was nothing short of sensational. So, well, I could go on and on, but... maybe I should let you take a little rest and I'll do one for you.
Wonderful. I'd love to hear you play.
I thought I'd try this tune by J.J. Johnson called Lament.
Oh, beautiful. That's beautiful, Mary. That's a first for me. I don't know that tune.
Really?
It's by J.J. Johnson.
Yeah.
First time I've ever heard it.
Really? That's amazing.
That's a beautiful tune.
Well, that's something
you
I
do
could,
it justice.
I could hear you play, but he played it in the show when he did the show with me, and luckily I learned it before he got there. But it's something I've heard for years and thought, gee, I'd love to do that tune, and never did. You know how that is, and you,
yeah. But never get around to it. I know. Never,
so many things I didn't get around to. But you know what would be really fun? That I was listening to one of your new records. Maybe it's the one in Paris or somewhere where you did a nice blues of Milt Jackson.
Reunion Blues.
Reunion Blues.
Yeah, that's a great tune.
Could we play that?
Yeah, why don't we do it? You going to play the left hand or that thing, that figure?
All right, count to You know, that's such a wonderful tune. Like, Milt has written some cute
Milt knows things. How to write blues, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Apart from some beautiful ballads.
He sure does. Well, yeah, you know, you've written some wonderful tunes yourself. Years ago, I don't remember too many of your compositions except that Canadian Suite.
Oh, Canadian Suite.
It was so wonderful. But now, in fact, I'm sort of remiss for not knowing... Like this tune that you're going to play, Love Ballad. I'm dying to hear that.
Well, I'll be happy to do it for you. It was written in Washington, D.C. one night in a nightclub, believe it or not, on the stand.
Really?
When Niels Henning was heckling me. He was saying, why don't you just go ahead and play something now? Play something by yourself. I said, okay. And he said, what do you want me doing originally? He said, yeah, go ahead and write something. So basically I wrote the skeleton, as we call it, of this tune. And he liked it so much, he insisted that I play it again that night. And then he learned it, and we played it night after night, and it became one of the tunes in the repertoire.
It's funny. That's an interesting way to write a tune, and obviously it worked out. But I was just thinking, like you talked about Niels heckling you. I mean, you guys were good at heckling each other and doing terrible things.
Well, we used to do that all the time. That was, you know, we'd take each other down different paths at different times. And I still say one of the most interesting groups I ever had, apart from the trios that everyone knows from the beginning, like Ray and Herbie and Ray and Ed, was a trio with Niels and Joe Pass. Now, if you talk about your music going by the minute, with those two guys on my back, it was a matter of survival.
Well, what did they do to you?
Everything they could. They really did. Joe, I really miss, because he was such an instrumentalist, as you know.
Oh,
I don't
fabulous.
Have to tell you. And he was such an inspiration. And he was such a great, great talent, you know, that I really miss playing with him.
Yeah.
And Niels, of course, is, you know, what can you say about Niels Henning or Sted Pedersen? He's a performer and a creator that, without dispute, you know.
Well, you've had such wonderful people with you, and you're still having them. You've just discovered a new guitar player?
Yes, a young man from Sweden by the name of Ulf Wackenwies.
What?
His name is Ulf Wackenwies. Now I call
the
NATO group. That's the new name of the group, the NATO group. I come out and announce myself.
The
NATO group.
Well,
I'm from Canada. There are drummers from London, England, Martin Drew.
Yeah, right.
And Niels is from Copenhagen, Denmark. And Ulf Wackenwies is from Sweden. So we call it the NATO group.
That's cute. Well, you've really got it down, like with bass, drums, and guitar. But you used to, I mean, this is more recent, isn't it? Having the quartet.
It's nice to have the quartet. I had a quartet for a short time many years ago with Irving Ashby, and I had Lee Young on drums at the same time. That was a great quartet. I enjoyed that one too. That was for a very short time though. But a quartet is invigorating to me because it gives me a chance to sit back and listen to someone else play a lead instrument. When you have a person like Ulf or Joe Pass in the group, then it's something to listen to.
God, I miss that guy terribly.
Don't we all?
Yeah. Well, we got a long way from your love ballad, but now it would be fun to hear you play that.
Okay. This was written, as I said, years ago in Washington, D.C., and the only title I can think of for it, because it has that sort of Chopin quality to it, was the Love Ballad.
That's so lovely.
Thank you.
You seem to have a penchant for like these, oh, I don't know what it is, like a soulful melody that's kind of simple. What was this other one?
If I only knew. Oh,
Nighttime?
Nighttime.
I love it.
Doesn't sound like me, does
it? Nighttime.
No, it doesn't sound like me until it gets into the second part.
Well, I mean, I was afraid you might go into that B flat part, and I thought, boy, I'm going to get really
hung up there. No,
but
it's not
but
like that.
I mean, that's nice about that. Then that part is I mean, the tune is called Nighttime, and it's great because then you get into the other area of nighttime, the mad scene.
The happy-go-lucky nighttime.
Happy-go-lucky nighttime. Right. That is really a really pretty melody.
Thank you.
It's time to let you know that my guest today is Oscar Peterson. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz, which is made possible in part by the Baldwin Piano and Organ Company, manufacturers of the pianos heard on Piano Jazz. You know what I wanted to ask you? What do you think about the current crop of young piano players coming up? Have you heard some that you really think are outstanding?
Well, there's a raft of them out there, I realize. But my two favorites would have to be, of course, Benny Green, whom you're well familiar
Benny
with.
Green.
And Mike Ledon.
Mike Ledon.
He is incredible. I did a cruise several years ago, and he was in Milt Jackson's group. And I used to rush into the room they were playing in every night just to hear him play. I think he's a really talented pianist.
It's amazing. We've tried to get together a couple of times, and we've sort of missed each other.
You must have him. He's really wonderful. He's a nice person, too.
And there's another guy that maybe you've heard, Jackie Terrasson.
Yes, I've heard the name. I haven't heard him in person.
But he's somebody that you would enjoy, I think.
I'm sure I would.
But, you probably don't get all that much time to listen to that.
Not if you're traveling.
And, I mean, are you traveling the way you used to?
No, I'm under orders to not keep that schedule or itinerary that I had going because my body won't stand up to it anymore.
Well, I mean, I know how you are. If you could, you would, or you're probably doing more than you should already.
Well, no, I'm on staff at York University as an adjunct professor up there in Toronto. And that's very rewarding. And I've been working on a CD-ROM, interactive CD-ROM project.
Oh, now that's fantastic. So, tell me about it.
Well, it's just a CD-ROM or recording, as you know, that gives you video and music. And on it, they've transcribed a lot of my music. And we've also used cuts of various performances in which I comment. And you can push buttons on the screen and while a piece is playing, and you'll hear me make a comment about why I did a certain thing pianistically or musically, hopefully.
That's incredible. Yeah. Well, do you actually, I mean, have you actually played, like, now, done some things for the CD-ROM?
Yes, I have. And actually, we had Benny Green on it. We have Benny Green on it where he's sitting with me. We're doing a sort of not really a lesson, it's a discussion on the pitfalls of some of the jazz playing.
That should be a fascinating thing.
We're looking forward to it.
But anyway, what else could we do together? Let's do another duet.
What would you like to do?
You know what would be really nice? To do a waltz. We haven't done one so far.
And, you know, I've been kiddingly calling myself the Waltz King because I love to play waltzes.
Oh, really? I never knew that.
I love playing waltzes. Yeah, I love it. I don't know what it is about it, just the change in the time signature. But and Child is Born is one of my most favorite tunes.
Well, let's do Child is Born.
Fair enough.
All right.
All righty. Thank you.
one of the prettiest songs Thad Jones ever
it's
wrote.
It's a gorgeous tune. It's a really gorgeous tune. It brings tears to my eyes every time I...
You know, that has such a nice lyric. A lot of people don't realize.
Has it got lyrics?
Alec Wilder wrote the lyrics to that.
I'm not even aware that it had lyrics.
It has a beautiful lyric. In fact, I keep wishing somebody would make a Christmas song out of it because the lyric he wrote is just apropos for a Christmas song.
Really?
I'll send it to you.
I'd love to have the lyric.
Because I've always... Somebody did record it. Carmen McRae recorded it. And she didn't know that it was Alec's lyric.
Really?
She didn't know where it came from.
Well, it's such a gorgeous tune.
Yes, it is.
It's a standout. It really is.
By the way, I'd like to let you know that my guest today is Oscar Peterson. I'm Marian McParland, and this is Piano Jazz, made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts. I thought I would improvise maybe a little portrait of you.
Uh-oh.
Well...
I'd like to hear this. I really would.
Well, I'd like to hear it. I mean, this is sort of like Neil's telling you to make up a tune, because that's what I'm going to do.
All right, you do one for me and I'll do one for you.
Okay.
Fair enough?
Fair enough. I was thinking of the Waltz King there for a moment.
All right, let me see what I can come up with for you.
All right.
For Lady Marian.
Thank you. thank you, and I'm thrilled, that's all I can say. But anyway, this is terrible, but coming to the end of the show, and it's such a kick to see you and hear you and know that all is well, and that I really thank you for taking the time to come over here and do the show with me.
Well, it's my pleasure. I wouldn't have done it for anyone else.
Well, thank you, and why don't we kind of wind up with something?
Do a happy time tune?
A happy type tune, yeah. Mellow tone, in a mellow tone?
Beautiful.
A Duke tune at that.
Right.
All right. Thank you. that. And I love that little triplet thing you do. I thought I just love that thing. Anyway, that was great. Thank you, Oscar.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with host Marian McParland and her guest Oscar Peterson in a program which was originally broadcast in 1998. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson, recording engineer Richard Applegate, mastering engineer David Mitchell, production coordinator Audrey Shiflett, executive producer Tom Clark. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Friends of Piano Jazz, NPR stations, and NPR. Support for the original production was provided by Baldwin Piano Company and by Borders Books and Music. Support for digital restoration was provided by Save America's Treasures through a partnership between the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Park Service, Department of the Interior. Support for NPR comes from NPR contributors, which include the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age, and the Lemelson Foundation, committed to improving lives through invention in the U.S. and developing countries. On the web at lemelson.org. This is NPR.